Hello there.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Spark of Rebellion.
Hello there and welcome to Spark of Rebellion. This is your weekly Star Wars podcast. My name's Gary, I'm one of your hosts, and welcome to episode 215. I hope you've had a cracking week and that you've all managed to watch the new Star Wars Outlaws trailer. More than anything, that's probably the biggest bit of news that's dropped. We'll be covering that in this episode along with some other bits and pieces. We've got a couple of updates on some films, release dates, and some little quotes about stuff that's coming up in the Daisy Ridley movie, and we're going to finish up with some toy news. The guys over at Hot Toys are smashing that as always, so we're going to talk about the latest figure that's been announced. And before we crack on with the show, thank you very much for listening to another episode. If this is your first time here at Spark of Rebellion, then welcome aboard. If you're a long time listener, then welcome back. It's good to have you all here listening to us chat all the things Star Wars. So, as I said, my name is Gary. I'm one of your hosts. And joining me, as always, is the guy who I think is, I don't know, he says he's a Chewie fan, but I don't know. I think he just likes the Wookiees in general. I think that's the look he's going for these days. So it's Mr. Mark. How are you doing, dude?
I'm all right. Thanks, mate. Usual. Trying to get through this Choices of One book, which is, it's not my favourite. I've got to be honest, but it's getting a little bit better. It's getting a little bit better.
a struggle.
So I'm all right. I'm all right, mate.
Yeah. I referenced the Wookiees, mate, because the beard's looking good. I like the beard at the minute. Very nice.
Be getting whipped off tomorrow.
Oh, no.
Quick shave tomorrow. Got a like a longer weekend. Well, you know, like a Friday afternoon off, Monday morning off. So I've got to get looking sharp and now looking fresh. You know how it is.
You've got, yeah. Yeah. You can't turn up looking like
Chewie. Expose the cheekbones.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I read you, man. Good stuff. So the book's a bit of a struggle. Yeah, I haven't done anything Star Wars-y, dude. The only thing I've done is the lad was playing a bit of Battlefront 2. So every now and then I dip into that just to see if the game's had any little sneaky updates or anything. But it's in the same state as it's been for a few years now. So it's still a good fun play that just to jump in as Anakin or whatever, as Obi-Wan, and smashing people up. It's such a solid game. Like, if they'd have carried on developing it and updating it, it would have been a nice little segue into Battlefront 3, maybe. Who knows? But yeah, had a little dip in Star Wars for a couple of hours, which is all good. And talking of Star Wars games, let's just crack on with the first story, Star Wars gaming. So Star Wars Outlaws.
Go on, then. You should tell people to give us money first. Don't forget that part. Kev gave us a tip. Why are you like this? God, this is bullshit.
Well, I want to give people some content first before asking.
No. This is bollocks. He just forgot, Kev. But I'm going to say thank you. So when Gaz says thank you in a minute, it won't mean it. He don't mean it. He's just saying it.
Well,
thanks, Kev.
Seeing as I messaged Kev personally and thanked him for the tip, I think he'll be okay.
Oh, right. I think he'll be all right.
Yeah. But Kev, thank you very much for the tip. Later on in the episode, I'll give you some deets on how you can chuck us some beer money.
Go.
Yes, but first.
Here we go.
First of all.
Don't get this shit on Jedi News.
I don't think Jedi News asks people for money, do they?
Well, they should bloody do.
Does he?
I'd give him a fiver.
I can't remember.
Don't tell people about other podcasts, though, Kev. Don't listen to other podcasts. Just listen to us.
Yeah.
Forever.
Because you've got all the quality content here. So stick around.
It's working out well.
So stick around. Some point in the show, I'll let you know how you can support us and how you can follow us and do all that stuff. But for now, I'm excited about some gaming news. So if you don't mind, I want to talk about Star Wars Outlaws for a second.
Go on then.
So this is a game that's been in the works for, I don't know, about 3 years, I think we got an announcement. It was just a simple poster or a social media post that just said there was an open world Star Wars game coming from Ubisoft and whatever. Everyone's like, yeah, it's going to be cool, whatever. Nothing for ages. And then in the last 6 months or so, we've had some decent trailer drops. We've had the initial story, sort of overall story trailer. We've had a bit of gameplay. We've had some other bits and interviews. But yesterday, we got the official story which sort of fleshes out the main character a little bit. Some of the other crime syndicates are going to be in the game heavily. And we got a look at some more planets and some ships and everything like that. So I don't know if you've seen the trailer, dude, but it's got a really cool kind of old school Star Wars-y vibe about it. It feels very sort of a Solo-esque, original trilogy-esque. It's got all that kind of vibe. It feels very opposite to sequel trilogy stuff. So it looks really cool. The main character is in the previous trailers that we got, that main character, Kay, she was kind of superficial because they had no context around her story and everything. She was just another, you know, outlaw slash scoundrel from Star Wars. But now we've got this kind of wider view of all the crime syndicates and her story of being kind of trapped and being sort of not sort of looked in the best light because of like one of the big jobs that she was hired for goes wrong. The big crime syndicate in the Outer Rim has now put a massive bounty on her, so she's trying to escape them. You've got the Empire, who was so this is set between, I think, Empire Strikes Back and Jedi. So you've got the Empire that's massively growing. She has to deal with those as well. So loads of stuff going on, dude. It looks really, really cool. I'm even more hyped for it now. So what are your thoughts on this one, dude?
Yeah, I liked it as well, dude. I like the aesthetic of it. I think the graphics sort of look all right. They don't look stunning. The gameplay engine, but I don't know why that's not better. Like, they still look a bit PlayStation 4, which is a bit weird. Like some of the characters and so on, the way they're moving. So I'm hoping that gets tarted up a little bit. But yeah, I like the concept of it. I like where it's set. I like that you're visiting Tatooine, Jabba's palace. You're seeing Han. I like that there's a B1 battle droid in there. I like that there's the walkers in there. You end up clearly in, you know, coming across the Empire and stealing stuff from them. But I like the general vibe of it. I like that, like you said, it feels very much Star Wars prequels. OT to a degree, certainly the Empire Strikes Back onwards, it feels very much like that. Generally like it, love the concept of the idea that, you know, this is a golden age for crime, you know, because the Empire is actually hiring bounty hunters, and actually there are, as long as we're not sort of annoying them, they're not going to be that pissed off if we are tyrannical, you know, as long as we're not stepping on their toes. So it's sort of an interesting concept. My only concern that's come from the story trailer is that, I don't know, first of all, how open world it is, which, you know, cool, that's fine. But because it's like, I can finally find a way to go and do this mission and buy my freedom, I'm just a bit worried that every mission's going to be go fetch this thing and do this. Go fetch this thing and do this, which gets super repetitive.
Can do, yeah.
I just struggle with games like that. Even things like Gears 5 was amazing, but there was way too much of that. It sort of put me off Halo a little bit recently, because even though the last one was open world, it was still go and find this thing, and then that'll enable you to get to this thing. And if I'm going to do that, I may as well just play Resident Evil, and like that's the master at it. So it's sort of that's my only potential dampener, dude, is that it might just be a bit fetch and carry. And then when you look at the pricing of it, if it is that, look, the way they do these pre-orders now, £60 just for the base game, and you get this Kessel Run bonus pack. The gold edition's £95 for 3 days early access and a season pass to what appears to be the multiplayer. And then for another £20, you basically get some skins and a digital art book. So it's like, oh, Jesus Christ, that is expensive, man. Mm-hmm. That is expensive. Especially when it appears that the multiplayer is probably going to need a season pass to carry on, a bit like COD. You know, you can play COD, but if you want to play COD, you've probably got to do a little bit more. So I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm just a little bit jaded with gaming. Like, I just want a single player game that I play. I don't want to buy season passes. I don't want any of that stuff. If I'm buying, like, if I'm subscribing to PlayStation Online, PS Plus, whatever, to play online, or Xbox Game Pass, I don't want to buy a season pass to get all the new guns and all that sort of stuff. I just feel like everyone, it's like a symptom of the subscription revolution, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, I get that, dude. Yeah, so that's a huge topic outside of this podcast, the whole sort of gaming thing, but Yeah, I get that, dude. So there probably will be some fetch quests going on. I think every game has that to a degree with open world stuff. I think that's just part and parcel of it. You know, it's like a mechanism to get you to go and see this other thing, you know. So it's, yeah, you know, sure. What I mean? So, but I think more so, I think one of the things that's probably going to outweigh the sort of little niggly sort of annoyances with those things is probably just the story decisions more than anything. I think that's the draw for me is, you know, the decisions that you make apparently throughout the game are more to get you to your freedom. Essentially, you're locked into this life of crime and you want to be out of it. So how you conduct certain missions, in what order and what decisions you make. So I think that's the cool part of it. And it's all wrapped up in this very nice looking Star Wars vibe and everything. And the other cool thing as well is that it's got Mandalorian vibes. And what I mean by that is when we first got the Mandalorian episode one, season one, many moons ago now, that felt very, oh, this is amazing. It's really familiar Star Wars, but it's new stuff. And it's got that feel to it to me, where you've got like the traditional stormtroopers knocking around and all that, you know. But it's a brand new character, you know, all that stuff. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying, dude. And the prices, I'm not going to order the, I'm not going to go silly with those gold editions.
I was going to ask, are you going to pre-order it?
I might do. I mean, pre-ordering's a bit of a non-thing these days, isn't it, with digital games? You don't need to pre-order or anything. So I'll see, dude. I don't know. I'm certainly not going to get the gold edition or all that jazz and whatnot. So I don't know. Who knows? It depends on how good the marketing from Ubisoft is over the next few months. If they do a good job and I get suckered in, then I might do. Who knows? It is Star Wars after all, dude. So who knows? But it looks very good so far. It does look good.
It does look good. Mm. Yeah, no, it does look good. And I think, if, like you said, if the story is compelling enough, I think it will be interesting. What do you make of the graphics of it then? Like the first character that you see, that kind of warlord bringing everyone together, that crime lord, just looks a bit, like, doesn't look next gen, does it?
Yeah, well, in terms of graphics, it looks like a game of two halves to me. Like some of the environments and some of the visual effects and the post-processing and all that stuff, it does look next gen. It looks very, like the lighting in some of the locations and all that stuff, it looks amazing. Look really cool.
Yeah, it does.
But then some of the character models and stuff, yeah, you're right, it looks a little bit basic, should I say, compared to even then that's two halves, because there's a couple of scenes with Kay in it and you see a close-up of her and stuff, and her hair physics are really good. And you know,
and the aliens, sorry to interrupt, the aliens look better than like the first human that you see, the bearded human guy.
Oh, defo, yeah. Yeah, so it's like, I don't know, it's one of those, I think it's going to be way better than the Jedi games, you know, those Jedi Survivor and stuff, because they had little flashes of really cool graphics, but just very few and far between. The rest of it was a bit of a shit show, really. So I think it's going to be way better than that. But because this uses the Frostbite engine, which is things like the Battlefront games and the Division games and some of those things, you know, the recent Avatar game as well, which graphically looked very cool. It's all based on that same engine. So I think it has the potential to look very cool, dude. They're still in the polishing phase. Remember, we've got like, I don't know, 5-ish months to go. So that time will be all like refinement and playtesting and polishing it all up. So yeah,
tune it up.
Get the band tuned up. Come on, just make it look good. So this drops August 30th. That was the other thing, just lastly, to mention from the trailer. We got the release date as well. So the end of August is when this is going to land. So, which is cool, because a lot of people were thinking this was going to be an October, November thing. So that's cool. So Star Wars Outlaws. Get your pre-order in if that floats your boat, or just wait until the morning of and do it then. Whatever.
Get it online. One of them, innit?
Online. On the line. Yeah. Should we talk about some films, dude? Upcoming films. So this Daisy Ridley film, she always gets asked about this. So in Empire magazine, she was asked about the upcoming Star Wars film. This is weird. So she speaks to Empire in a major new career-spanning interview, which sounds rather important, which is the June issue of the mag. She was asked about the new Star Wars film, of course, and she's taken a little bit of a different view on it. So in a nutshell, what she's saying is when she was in Star Wars previously, she felt like she wasn't really, she wasn't like the adult in the room, I think is the best way to put it. She was just there to, you know, be directed and do the thing and then go home. So now she feels like, and the main quote is, she feels like she's owning it this time. So she says, I suppose I feel more like I'm owning it. I suppose I owned it the first time. Basically, I'm an adult now. I certainly did not feel like an adult at the time. Obviously, personally, things have changed, and professionally, I've had a lot of other experiences, and so I definitely feel like it's a different thing this time. She goes on to say that there's a lot of joy with me and these films. Honestly, if I wasn't excited, I wouldn't have done it. It feels like a great thing to be a part of, because they quizzed her on, look, there's been a lot of fan, you know, unhappiness around the sequel trilogy in general and stuff like that. And she's basically saying, look, whatever, if you don't like it, you don't like it. But I really like it and I like doing it, so that's why I'm doing it. So she's remaining positive, dude, on this. I think she's going to get this a lot in interviews, where it's going to have essentially people just being nosy about what's coming with the film. And then they're going to follow it up with, yeah, but those films were shit, weren't they? So why have you come back to reprise that role and stuff? So I think she's going to have to battle that all the way through. But yeah, a nice little quote, I suppose, dude. And she seems up for it.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one. When you look at her age as well, she's 32 now. So like, you know, when they were filming Force Awakens, and even, you know, when they're casting, what, 18 months before, let's assume December 2015. So she'll have been 21 when she was just starting as Rey, which is like, you know, from being 21 to 31 to 32 is just such a big difference mentally, and from a confidence perspective. And to go through all that, deal with everything that came, and to be like thrust into Star Wars is like terrifying. Like, you see what it did to Jake Lloyd, and even to Hayden Christensen and Ahmed Best and all those guys and girls that were involved in the prequels. So you sort of think, it's like number one, a different landscape now, but number two, it's like it's a different generation of twats. You know, you sort of got, like, we keep saying it every week now because it keeps cropping up. You've just got the general, you know, there just seems to be more anti-female for some reason. You know, Star Wars fans are a bit more anti-female, where they maybe weren't in the prequels. Maybe it was just anti anything that wasn't OT. And now it's like sort of that along with anti-female. So I do feel for her on that, because she's taken a massive jump coming back.
A risk.
Yeah. And I always sort of makes me laugh, where it's like, I wouldn't have done it if I wasn't excited. Like, well, you would have done, wouldn't you? Because I've been getting paid a shit ton of money. And don't get me wrong, you've got a nice career. You're doing well for yourself. That's good. Like, well done. That's amazing. But there's nothing wrong with getting paid. Like, that's your job. That's cool. Like, go and get paid. That's what you want to do. So it's, there is always that element of it as well, is that, you know, how much money would I want to deal with all those assholes? And it's probably what Daisley Ridley is getting paid. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? You, it's got to do a good job financially for you to go through years of crap. So just to kind of put a cynical spin on it, but I think it could be all right, this movie. And I just feel that Daisley Ridley, I think it was always nailed on she was going to come back, because she's the type of films that she does, like Ophelia and some of the other stuff. They're not really super mainstream movies. So it's not like she's not someone out of Marvel that becomes a Marvel hero, like say a Brie Larson or someone like that, like a Scarlett Johansson, that is, you know, they will do that and then they'll go and do Fast and Furious or they'll go and do something else. It's not, she still seems to do much smaller films. So I just, even though I've said a lot on it, I don't think there's that much to say on it. I think it's almost a given. Of course she was going to come back. Of course she's going to say she's excited for it. The proof in the pudding is how she weathers the storm of arseholes. That, I think that's going to really just be the character piece for her. We don't know if Mark Hamill's going to be there to shoulder some of that. We don't know what's going to happen. I would imagine that Luke's going to be in it as a ghost, and probably Anakin. But I just like she said, she's like the center of this now. She is the adult, so everything's going to get directed to her. So interesting times, dude. Yeah. And just to that point, yeah, I think it's leaving money on the table, not putting Luke and Anakin in it. Like, of course they're going to be in it. Like, Hayden's having this massive renaissance in Star Wars and everyone wants to see him interacting with Luke. Like, it's almost a no-brainer, isn't it?
Almost, yeah. And it's only so many projects that you can put those two in it as well. You know, you can't just have those two pop up in some random thing. So this seems to be the perfect vehicle for those to come back as the old Force ghosts and do that stuff.
But did they just get too big for it then? Like, is it the loot problem in Force Awakens? They're just too big for it and they take over the marketing and that's the only thing anyone talks about. So if you're Disney, do you not do it? Because, and then you get all the idiots saying, oh, why is it a Rey film? What like what a precarious situation, dude.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned. Yeah, it's a big risk for, because as you alluded to, she's not really gone on to like massive other franchisey films, you know. She's been fairly sort of mid-level after Star Wars. So for Disney and those people, it's a risk because it's like, well, you know, can she come back and be strong enough to sort of, you know, weather all that stuff? But then on her side, it's probably like, well, you know, I'm getting paid a decent wage for these other films and whatnot, but there's nothing like a bit of Disney money. You know, there's nothing like a bit of Disney Mickey Mouse coin to whack in the wallet. So she's, yeah, I don't know. I think she's probably saying a lot of this because she feels she has to, you know.
Yeah,
you
why would you go the other way? You're not going to come out and go the other way, are you? Like, from day one. Are you excited about this? Nah. It's a bit of brass, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So I think she's saying it because it's what's expected from a PR point of view. Hmm. So how she's really feeling, who knows? Maybe she'll talk about it.
She must be terrified.
Like 20 years. I don't know.
You would be terrified. Like, I would hate to do a Star Wars movie. Like, you would hate it because if you were the star of it, oh my word, man, you're going to get hammered, sadly, aren't you? Regardless.
Yeah. And that's probably one of the things that is probably going for her. Is that she knows the drill. That makes sense.
Right.
You know, she's been there and gone through all that criticism and everything. So she knows how it all works.
Do you think it sort of makes people like that and the writers and even Disney, you know, does it make them more determined to listen to everything and to say, well, look, these guys are annoyed at this. These guys are annoyed at this. We've got a really good story we want to tell. Like, does it make you more determined to be not, I don't want to say better because it's subjective, but to be more cognizant of what the criticism was around, say, The Rise of Skywalker? Or do you think they just think, well, fuck it, we're Disney, we'll do what we want?
I think it's the latter, you know.
Mm.
I really do. There's been so many times where they could have listened to, and not they have to, but, you know, and I don't mean the whinging sort of arseholes in the, you know, behind a keyboard. I mean, just the general fan feeling of things. There's been a few opportunities to listen to that and sort of maybe steer the ship in a slightly different direction for it. But they haven't. They've just been like, yep, this is the story we want to tell. You either consume it or you don't like it or you don't, whatever. So I think there is a bit of sort of strong-headedness there from those guys. And who knows? But then if you sort of dip into taking on fan service comments and all that stuff, then you go into the realm of, well, you wanted it this way and you still don't like it, so on the next project we'll just go back to what we were doing, and you end up with these kind of weird projects in between that are like, well, we tried that, they still don't like it. So, you know, it's a big old, you know, tangle of stuff to get through. But I don't know, I think they do push ahead. Are they like that with Marvel, do you reckon, with Disney? Because Marvel seems to, they seem to have a much stronger base for doing their stories for the most part, especially in the first two phases of the MCU. They had all the cool stuff from the comics, really. You know, you can't really go wrong, like successful comics and characters with that. As long as you don't really screw it up on screen, you've got a really good base. With Star Wars, it's like, well, you know, unless it's based on a Legends book, we're kind of inventing as we go, you know? So it's more of a, you know, things like Mandalorian in this new movie, and that's, it's all like, you know, this is uncharted territory. So what do you do?
Well, I think the thing you've got is you've got Kevin Feige. Like, Downey Jr. came out yesterday and just said, look, you know, I'll probably end up coming back, to paraphrase. And then he just said, you know, as much as Marvel has struggled since Endgame, which it has, because I think such a huge culmination of things ending in such a way that was so tied to what we'd seen before, you know, all the emotional investment that we'd gone through, Marvel was set for a fall afterwards. The only thing you could really do is what they did with No Way Home, which is bring in a bit of nostalgia. And that worked. That was great. And it worked. But Downey Jr. said, look, it doesn't matter about any of that. Of course, they'll learn from the mistakes. You would feel that they would sort of keep rebooting, which is what they've done, you know, release less and less and less. They've rebooted Daredevil after they've rebooted Daredevil with the same the same follow-ups from the Netflix series. You know, we just got Vanessa Fisk. She's back, the original access, something or other. So it feels like they've learned from that and they know what to do with it. But it feels, again, what Downey Jr. alluded to was the fact that Feige is the house. He will always win. He might have periods where he's not winning. But the war, you know, take your battles if you can, but the war, he will always win. He will be the house, he will win. And I sort of feel like Star Wars has got that problem. And that was going to be my next question to you as you started mentioning that. Like Rise of Skywalker and the sequel trilogy had the opportunity to do what Endgame did, which is to say, right, here's a prequel trilogy that you know, here's an original trilogy that you know, here's a sequel trilogy that we're gonna toe the line so well between fan service and original storytelling that by the end of it, there'll be massive payoff for Luke, massive payoff for Anakin, for Leia, for Han, and you'll be happy and it'll be done. And if we do books, if we do comics, they'll all be before the end of this sequel trilogy. And after that, let's do The Mandalorian. Let's do this new Jedi stuff. But you will be happy with all this stuff. They didn't do that, which leads me to the question. The big difference now is that Dave Filoni is chief creative officer. Do you think that will impact these new movies?
Yeah.
And outside of the Mando movie, which we'll get to in a minute, but like in particular, the first Jedi movie, the Mangold one, and this Daisy Ridley one, will they be better because Filoni is now essentially the Feige of Star Wars?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's bang on. Let's move on.
That's my in-depth
yes
answer. I think it will because I think these things need a Feige. I think they need a somebody. You know, there's one thing that you can sort of you pass the hot potato, I guess. That can work. If you've got a bunch of, you know, clever, creative people, you can pass the baton and get them to do it and that sort of thing, which they kind of did with the sequel trilogy, didn't they? They tried to get this sort of multi-director vision thing happening, which didn't work at all, so end up just getting Abrams back. But so I think it definitely needs a Feige at the helm. It needs somebody that's just like, look, dude, we want to do this film. What do you reckon? And then you've got, and I'm not talking about Kathleen Kennedy. I don't think she's the person for it. So I think you need someone like Filoni that's like, look, yeah, that's a good idea, but, you know, I've got this idea in my head that's probably going to play out into a TV show in the next 2 years. So I would start looking at this, you know, or I would start thinking about that, you know, and he can kind of weave things, you know, to be around a sort of a more consistent narrative, which I think Feige did very well in the first. Yeah, like you said, up to Endgame, really. I'm going through a Marvel rewatch at the moment, you know, like literally everything. So I've gone through a lot of Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that lot. I'm up to just coming up to the Captain America. Was it Civil War or Winter Soldier? Whichever one comes first. And all of that stuff. All of those things, all the TV and stuff in those first two or three phases of MCU were brilliantly done. Just because you've got a Feige who's like, okay, in this scene of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., when you mention this thing, it's got a link to this thing over here, this film that's coming out in a couple of years, you know, all that stuff. So I think with Filoni doing that, you have a much more sort of coherent bunch of stories moving forward. So I do think they will be better with him there. You don't think that, or you do?
No, I do. And I think there's opportunities to, I don't want to say fix, but I don't think it's an accident that it was established Force Ghosts can interact much more. I think that was their get out of jail card a little bit. You know, just so that Filoni could go, well, Luke can still kick ass because he's, you know, and I think there's opportunity to tie together the prequels and to say, look, here's the storytelling that we maybe didn't do in the sequel trilogy to wrap up these stories a little bit more. Because, you know, Anakin was wrapped up in Return of the Jedi, but then just left wildly open in Ahsoka. you know, we know that Ahsoka was maybe his outstanding piece of work, you know, like, okay, I've reconciled with all this stuff with my family, but I've got to sort this Ahsoka shit out. So, you know, I sort of get that there's an element of that. But I don't know, man. I just feel like they might just use this new Jedi Order as a way to say, don't do all this silly shit that we did. Like, here's what happened before. Like, if you want attachment, go for it. Here's how not to do it. But look what happened when you told me not to. 20-year tear, boys. So it's, you know, I just feel like there might be some in it. But I don't know, man. I will see. But yeah, I think the answer is, I agree with you. I think Filoni, if he truly has oversight of everything, I hope that we see that and we feel that. And I think it would be very clear if we did or if we didn't. You know, I think we would spot the signs of Filoni in there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, you're right. You probably start to pick out little bits, nuances that are like, oh, I probably wouldn't have that if Filoni wasn't, you know, doing his thing. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Talking of upcoming films, though, outside of the Daisy Ridley film and whatnot, we've got a new writer announced for the upcoming James Mangold movie, which is the which is at the moment titled as the Dawn of the Jedi, which is the way, way back, you know, what's going on with those guys in the early days. So, and it's another writer that's worked on Star Wars before, which is, I guess you could say it's handy, or depending on your view on that, if you wanted somebody fresh, we'll come on to that in a second. But yeah, so Bo Willimon is on as co-writer alongside James Mangold for this upcoming Star Wars film. And in addition to writing some of the cool episodes for House of Cards, which is a good series over on Netflix previously, he also did the first three episodes of Andor, which is his link to Star Wars. So I say that in a way which, I mean, like, it's handy in a way that he doesn't need to be onboarded as much as somebody who has never worked on Star Wars before. So he, you know, he doesn't need to be had his hand held too much. Like, this is what we do in Star Wars land, you know, Bo, this is what we do when we talk about these people. And this is how we, you know, he's already got a good grounding for that, I guess. But at the same time, I don't know, maybe it needed a fresh person to bring an outside perspective, perhaps. So another two sides of the coin story with this one, dude. But at least the project's moving forward, mate. It's not one of those, you know, we won't hear anything for 5 years. So, yeah, another writer, dude.
Yeah, I'm quite interested in this dude. So he didn't actually do the first three. He just did three in a row. And the they did the Narkina 5, Nobody's Listening, One Way Out. They were the three episodes in the prison. And they were very good episodes, very good episodes, really well written, obviously with a twist at the end that Kino Loy couldn't swim, bless him. So it was. why didn't he just jump out and just let, so like people would have carried him, I don't get that. Anyway, so it feels like this is a good get. You know, if you're trying to write something that's a little bit more, I don't want to be cliche and say gritty, but if you're trying to write something that is more grounded, let's say, grounded, and then you put James Mangold on top of it as well, you know, a guy that did Logan. This is actually a feeling like a decent combo, because, like I said, those episodes were very good. They were very well layered. The suspense built really nicely. There were a lot of ties into the original universe stuff insofar as what they were manufacturing for the Death Star. It was, I don't know, there was a lot in those episodes that were really, really nicely done and that set up character interactions in Rogue One. So I think this is quite an interesting get, dude. Like I said, when you add it to the fact that it's James Mangold directing it. So I'm sort of, I don't want to say excited, but I'm certainly interested in this project more than I probably was like the Benioff and Weiss stuff and anything else that's come before it. I think this one is quite interesting. I do. I really do. And the fact that it will jump back to, you know, way before the High Republic in canon, even before, you know, the Old Republic in the old legends. I think that, yeah. How can people complain?
Yeah, they will, I think it'd be a good one because Mangold's on as director and co-writing duties, he's got a bit more, you know, a bit more of a hold on how it sort of pans out story-wise, as well as how it looks on screen ultimately. So, Yeah, I think this could be a good one as well. I think having somebody from Andor is a good shout, like you said, because it has a bit more, you're grounded a bit more, you know. If you had somebody from, who wrote like, I don't know, the, you know, the Marvels, you know, which is all, mm-hmm. I think that'd be a much different vibe. So, yeah, good shout on this one, dude.
Yeah, I agree.
So we'll see what's going on with that as we move forward, but at least it is moving forward, which is always a good shout. And then just very quickly, another movie update, which is the release date for The Mandalorian and Grogu. That's been slated to be released on May 22nd, 2026. So a couple of years wait on that one. So I think that one's probably expected, dude. I think a lot of people were hoping for next year, a 2025 release. But yeah, I thought that was never going to happen, really. So 2026, no. Dude, a couple of years. What's coming out next year? I don't know yet. What's coming out next year?
I don't know, actually, because I think the writer's strike put paid to a lot of the stuff that was coming out next year.
Yeah, it did. Mm-hmm.
So I think Mando was coming out next year. If you think about it, they said they'd outlined and they'd even written a chunk of season four way before, well, just as season three was wrapping up. And it feels like the writer's strike put paid to a lot of that, just because, you can't write scripts. You can do the outlines and you might have the screenplay or whatever, but you can't script it. So yeah, I mean, I'm a bit ambivalent on this one. I think the Mandalorian is very difficult at the minute. It's very, very difficult because it became the poster child of Star Wars, and you know, season one was very much its own thing. Season two and three became very much mired in mythology and canon, which has been brilliant. Massive ties to the Bad Batch, clearly, but it suffered to a degree, and there's a risk that this movie will flounder just because of the, you know, you're taking something that's been constantly streamed into a cinema. I'm just, you know, will go see it, but will my mum, the people that make up the rest of the money that it needs to take in order to be a success, or are they just going to wait until it comes out on Disney Plus? So I think I'm interested. I think this is a real interesting problem. Again, it's not a negative. I just think it's an interesting position that Disney's put itself in with Star Wars and The Mandalorian here. So that said, it gives us 2 years to get more Thrawny stuff, Ahsoka announcements, gets us 2 years to for Filoni to really figure out as well, does this tie to anything else? Which, of course, I can't imagine it not doing. If you've got characters like that, you are going to want to milk them. So just, yeah, sort of ambivalent on it, but curious about this entire thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the date I'm not too fussed on, to be honest with you. Whether it's May,
what does that do?
Christmas, I don't know.
Sorry to interject, what does that do for like Heir to the Empire? When's that due, do we know?
That's not due until... I don't think that's coming until after this.
No, it can't do. Because somewhere in the movie, or somewhere it will... Somewhere they'll go and get Ahsoka, won't they?
Somewhere, yeah. Yeah, of course. And we have to remember that this was always announced to be a multiversal kind of collection of all the stories and characters, right? So it's bound to draft in all those peeps. But they'll come after, I think, that Heir to the Empire stuff's got to come after.
Yeah, you'd think so.
So, yeah, May at the minute. That'll probably change, dude, I reckon. We're 2 years out.
Think you get pushed back again?
I reckon this will end up being a Christmas.
Feels better. Sorry to interrupt, man.
It does. I was going to say, yeah, because the summer blockbuster window, I don't think this is a billion-dollar Star Wars film.
No, I don't. I think it's like a 600 mil little indie Star Wars thing that's mega budget in terms of production, but lives to serve everything else and to serve Disney Plus. If The Mandalorian and Grogu came out at Christmas, I would take the family to see it at Christmas because it'd be like, whoa, Grogu, Mando, Christmas, time off.
Yeah,
you know, you're right, man. It feels better for Christmas. So you think it'll move?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, for two reasons. One, I think there's so much other stuff going on in Star Wars. That's this. You can only spread yourself so thinly, you know, across all that. So I think the resources and stuff will just lag just a wee bit, and it will move. And then secondly, I don't know. The summer window is typically reserved for bigger films, bigger characters. So I think it'd be silly to go up against. There's bound to be a something else that's out in summer 2026 or leading up to that point, you know, that it'll have to compete with. So, yeah, there'll be a Marvel film or there'll be a big thing. Maybe the next Pirates of the Caribbean film that's slated to be in production soon. And I don't know.
Let's have a quick look.
Yeah. I know the second Batman film's out next year, so that won't be it. So it's not.
No, it's been pushed. That's been pushed to summer 26.
Oh, the Batman?
Yeah, Moana 2, Avengers the Kang Dynasty. We'll see what happens with that. Toy Story 5.
Yeah,
that's nice. Yeah, there's a lot. There is a lot of decent ones in there, actually. Another Marvel one, another untitled Marvel one. There's a lot in there.
Mm-hmm. So it will have to compete, won't it? And I don't think, you know, as much as we love The Mandalorian and stuff, I just don't think it's got it's big enough and wide enough in terms of audience grab to compete with those big boys. So, yeah, Crimbo, I reckon. Anyway, we'll keep you updated on that stuff as always. And just very quickly to finish up, dude, Hot Toys have announced another figure and they carry on with the creepy likeness with these ones. So this is the Hayden Christensen. This is Anakin. They call it they've labeled it the do-over figure. It's essentially from Ahsoka when she's in the flashbacks and the world between worlds and all that stuff. And she sees Anakin, but not as Vader or anything like that. She sees him as the Clone Wars Anakin, but live action. And he looked very cool on that. And this figure is creepily accurate, dude, in the facial expression they've chosen for this one. He's got that kind of emphatic kind of, you know, understandable, I'm listening to you, but you're cool kind of face. And it looks very cool. The garbs are all there as well from the animation that he wore in live action as well. But I assume you're going to pass on this one, dude. You're probably going to complain about space and all the rest of it. And blah, blah, blah.
I just don't have the room.
Here we go. Let's down at the room.
So here's the thing, right? I have really wanted the previous one, TMSO 19, which was the Anakin Skywalker and the Clone Wars, which is badass. But and because then they're releasing Obi-Wan in the Clone Wars as well. Let me see if I can find that one. The Ewan McGregor version.
Mm.
And that is also freaking badass. However, I'm glad I didn't get the previous one because this one is far better. They've somehow managed to nail the sympathetic, empathetic facial expression on this. I have got no idea because it looks like you said he's listening and it looks like Hayden Christensen is about to tell you that you're doing a good job. Do you know what I mean?
It does. Yeah, it does.
And they've absolutely nailed it. I really, really like this one. And I think it's, yeah, I'd like another head sculpt. I'd like an interchangeable head to give him more of, but I think they're going to do the dark version of it as well. I think they're going to do Anakin, the Vader version of Anakin that we saw on the World Between Worlds walkway. I think they'll do that because that's how you ramp your money up. But if they did another head sculpt on this where he was less empathetic, I would have it instantly.
Mm-hmm.
But I would get this one and I've got the Vader from Obi-Wan and then I've got Obi-Wan from Obi-Wan coming soon whenever that gets released. It's on pre-order. I would get these two to complement them just to show the time difference between the two. And that is it. I'd be finished with it then. I think it'd look amazing. But this might be one I pick up, mate, because I think this is brilliantly done. Brilliantly done.
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as I saw the picture for this, I was like, whoa, that's the set picture, the promo pic of Hayden Christensen. Let me see what the figure looks like.
Right.
Scroll down. It's like, oh, that's the figure. Oh, wow. Yeah, so they've absolutely nailed that, dude. Looks very cool. It's $265, as is the sort of going price for these 6-inch scale figures from Hot Toys. And this one's going to land in the first half of next year. So not too long to wait. Some of these orders are like 3 years out sometimes. So not too bad. And it does look awesome, dude. It does look very, very cool. And yeah, like you said, I think Hot Toys are doing the whole complimentary thing at the minute, where you've got like a variation of that figure and that one, and you can pair them up and group them and stuff. So yeah, good plan on. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it a lot, man. I'm looking at the Obi-Wan one. I mean, the Obi-Wan one is very, very good. To have a Clone Wars Obi-Wan and Clone Wars Anakin would be badass. So maybe next year.
Maybe. Yeah, clear some shelf space, dude, and you'll be all right. Okay.
Maybe next year, maybe. Baby.
Yeah. Okay, let's stick a pin in there. Let's wrap it for episode 215. Thank you very much for coming back and listening to another episode of Spark of Rebellion. It's been very cool to have you here listening to us waffle about Star Wars and keeping you up to date with all the things that are going on. If you like listening to Spark of Rebellion, if you enjoyed this episode, you can support us. You can chuck us a few quid over on our support page, which is sparkofrebellion.com/support. And thank you so much to our current supporters, Denise, Mark, Pascal, Kev, all you guys are very, very cool. Thank you very much for your support. And yeah, we put it all back into the show to keep all the Star Wars content rolling for you. So thank you very much indeedy. Dude, another good episode. And yeah, save that Anakin for your iPhone wallpaper.
Yeah. Might bloody have to, mate. Might bloody have to. But yeah, thank you to everyone. Thanks to Kev for the tip as well this week. We'll use that to buy a beer. So thank you very, very much. And we enjoy doing this. So yeah, see you next time, dude.
Indeed. So take care of yourself, everybody. We'll see you next time, and may the Force be with you always.